Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, home of all the great flavored coffees, original blend, Dunkin' Decaf, Mocha Blend, French Vanilla Hazelnut, or Dunkin' Dark. Make sure you pick up a nice big cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee on these chilly, chilly mornings. America runs on Dunkin'. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the Dunkin' Donuts free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hey, what's going on?
Something is weird. I sound like I'm in a tin can again.
Well, maybe that's because you are in a tin can. I clearly see the Campbell's Soup label.
No, I am not in a... it's weird. I don't know what this is. It's like... I don't know. Maybe it's the earbuds that I'm switched to or whatever. I just don't have that rich announcer voice going on right now.
You know,
it's really annoying.
I saw a post on Twitter that someone was unhappy with the volume of their podcast, that they always have to turn it up. No matter what the podcast is, they always have to turn it all the way up.
Yes.
And Christian Messer or Messner,
perhaps
I believe.
They're deaf. And fortunately, DI Plus is simulcast in sign language for our deaf listeners.
And I was just thinking about that, and I know we can't get all technical geeky, at least to that level, we're looking at the volume on the Audacity program that we are actually editing with, it looks like it's all the way as far as you can go. So then how, when someone gets it, can they say it's too, shouldn't that, if the waveform is all the way up, doesn't that affect the volume? Explain to me.
I don't know how, let me take a sip of my Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee and think about this and ponder this for a moment. No, I have no idea. Maybe, you know what it is? I think a lot of, I'm going to get so much shit for this. I think Apple has a thing that will limit the upper volume of their iPods to protect people's hearings or whatever. And I don't know. And also, when you look at the waveforms, you're not actually looking at the waveforms. You're looking at the dB, which is completely different concept than the... you look at it in a different way than the actual raw waveform.
I do, but if you... But it's all the way to the top. And if I were to switch it, I don't know. Because if it went any higher, no matter what view I'm looking at, it would be clipping.
You know what?
What?
This is really boring.
I know. That's why I said, should we talk about it? I was just looking on Twitter before we started. I had everything set up correctly, and it was all working. And I was like, oh, I'll just look at Twitter really quick, and I'll post that we're going to record. And then, all of a sudden, you log on, and I can't hear a damn thing.
Everything broke. We are streaming live on Pride 48 right now. I'd like to say a big howdy hi. Howdy hi? I don't even know what the fuck that is. But a big howdy hi to the chat room.
I think it's Heidi Ho.
Heidi Ho to the chat room. Big Fatty, the Good Humor Penguin, Montand, Trick or Treat, and Woody for West Stone. We haven't decided yet if Woody for West Stone is someone who has a Woody for West Stone, or whether, in fact, it's just someone named Woody who is voting for West Stone in this upcoming presidential election, you know, just like a protest vote.
You know, coincidentally enough, I don't think I can really say that, but I'm making up phrases again.
Right.
Woody, I was looking at the birthdays earlier, and one of the birthdays that I threw away that I decided I'm not going to do that birthday was Joan Cusack. Or Cusack, however you say it. I don't know.
Cusack. She played the voice of Jessie on Toy Story 2.
But I couldn't find a good clip of that, so I threw her out. So happy birthday to her as well, but that's it.
You could have played one of her monologues from In-N-Out. Anyway, it matters not. All about the West, and like I said before, it could have been Woody for Adam. See? Apparently you asked him this when I was off getting my Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee.
Wow. Yes, apparently it could have been. No, I did not ask this. I don't care if anybody has a Woody for me, but I don't even know who that person is, so I may not want them to have a Woody for me. But
you don't get to control that.
But what I wanted to say is the reason that this person does not have a Woody for me is my apparent love of Chick-fil-A.
Yes, it's probably Scotty. All right, so.
I don't even know how that person knows. I might have boycotted Chick-fil-A by now. They wouldn't even know. But
that's because you don't talk about it.
That's right.
You know what? I think we should start a hashtag now. Anytime you talk about DI Plus, it should be hashtag boycott Chick-fil-A.
Whatever.
No, all right. So I've been catching up on TV, and maybe I just haven't noticed this. Like, every fucking show now has like this forced hashtag on it, right? So it's like you're watching The Fringe and it's just like, they're arriving. They are here. It's like, do people actually do that? Do people actually sit there and watch the show and then use their suggested hashtag?
Yes, absolutely.
That's
it's like,
sad.
Well, apparently people sit down or what they would have you believe is that when you are watching a show or when people are watching a show, that they will sit down with their iPad or whatever their Android device is or whatever the case may be, and they will be so engrossed in the show that not only will they be like watching the show on the television, but they'll also be tweeting about that show and they will be researching things of that show. See, I think watching the show is enough for me.
All right. But see, now I completely understand that for live events. And I myself am guilty of doing that on live events. So let's say the Academy Awards, the Tony Awards, presidential debates, State of the Union addresses, things like that, where it is a live nationwide event that other people are commenting on in real time, then I feel, you know, then that's fun. It's fun to go along and have a hashtag, right? So Oscars or, you know, Academy Awards or, you know, any of those hashtags things. But those are not created by a marketing department. Those are created by, you know, people going off and doing things. They're organic, they're grassroots. So this to watch Fringe, though, which is not live, right? It was recorded ahead of time and it's now being beamed out, but it's going to be beamed out separately for the East Coast and for the West Coast. It's like, really, what is the point of using these hashtags? They're just, it seems like a really kludgy, fakey thing to do, and it's sad. That's all I'm trying to say.
Is that kind of like the Olympics where they were tweeting out winners and stuff like that, and we weren't getting the actual broadcast at that point? So they were actually, you know, telling us what was happening?
No, because that's different. I'm just saying, I'm watching Fringe and they're suggesting a hashtag for me to I guess, share with my friends. I just watched Joshua Jackson, get shot in the head. They are here. Hashtag. I don't know. I hadn't noticed it until recently, and now I see it everywhere. So I'm just curious. When did this sneak up on us?
I don't know.
Or maybe I just don't watch enough television to.
The family.
It seems like hashtags are a really good idea for live events, but it seems like a really dumb idea for a taped event.
Could be. I mean, the family's sitting around tweeting over an open fire and watching Fringe. So, you know.
I just, if you feel compelled to tweet out during a taped show, then just use the hashtag forced hashtag. So hashtag forced hashtag. I think that's what you should use.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't think most people are really forcing you. I mean, you don't have to do it.
But it's not. All right. So, but we should talk about this in the tech segment, because I don't think most people grok what a hashtag is for. It is an external indexing system, and it is very grassroots and is very like freeform. And for some marketing department to decide that this is what we want you to use is, you know, fuck you. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just typing in the Trello. Sorry.
I have no idea what you're doing. I'm waiting eagerly for you to talk about.
You're not. I changed it.
Oh.
And that may not be the correct name. I'm not sure. But
the American Horror Psycho Asylum or
something. Okay. So Mark and I have been looking. Well, we look for things to watch together. And so the other day he says, hey, why don't we watch American Horror Story or whatever it is? And we had never seen it before. So
is that spelled with a W?
Yes. Well,
American Horror.
I don't know. The little graphic on Hulu, or not Hulu, I had to buy it on Amazon. The graphic is just red with like this weird black latex person hanging from the ceiling. And then there's a girl on the bottom. It's really weird. Anyway, so we've been watching this and it's not really that scary. I want to say one thing about it, technically, from a production value sort of thing.
Okay.
I hate the theme.
Hate it.
There is not enough music. The music is very like quiet. Like you have to really strain to hear the music. And then you hear this dripping. I don't know if you've watched this show.
I have.
But you hear this dripping sound like your faucet in your bathroom is leaking. And you know that annoying plunk plunk or whatever, that kind of noise that it makes as it's dripping. And so they have this going on as kind of this rhythmic sort of thing, you know, and then they've got this weird Harley Davidson sounding roar going on. And then the music's so quiet that you couldn't even tell that it was a theme were you not sitting there watching the credits go by? So, yeah, well, not quite okay. like that. You just, I mean, you just have to hear it. And I'm sure if I were capable of multitasking and could actually, you know, search that out as I was speaking, then I could probably pull it up. But we all know that I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. I hate it. I hate the theme. I don't hate the show.
Cannot stand the theme song.
And the other thing, I don't know.
This one?
Yeah. But it's... See, Harley Davidson. Or chainsaw. I'm not sure. You hear the water dripping?
I hear what you might think is water dripping. Yes, yes.
I don't like it. And then the only thing they have is pictures of dead babies.
Yes.
Like flashing by. Anyway, so that I don't love. I don't love the theme. The show, I'm like halfway through the first season and I'm still trying to decide if I like it. There is a gay couple.
What is this show about? Because I saw there was a preview for it or something between on Fringe that I was fast forwarding through and Robert said, oh, I want to watch that. And then he found out that this was season two. That was starting, and he was like, oh, well, I want to watch season one. And so he was unwilling to spend the $30 on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is one of the shows that you cannot find, you have to buy it.
Yes.
Like, no, anywhere. The only two places I found that it's available are iTunes and Amazon, and both of those you have to buy. It's not available on Hulu. Anyway, only clips. They say it's on there, but then you go and it's just clips, which is irritating. So it's about, I don't, if I say too much, I'll give it away. But basically, this family moves into this old house.
Yes.
And bad things have happened in this house. In the past. Happened. Yes. And see, I don't know. Okay. If anyone does not want a spoiler, forward ahead right now, because I'm going to say one little thing that might. But you find out that it appears to me people who die in this house.
Yes.
Their ghost gets stuck there.
Okay.
And then the people who live there, for some reason, can see these ghosts.
I see dead people.
But it's not as if they're a ghost. You see, they don't know that these people are ghosts. They think that they're like real people just showing up at their house randomly.
Right.
And there's this basement where this mad scientist doctor did experiments on babies or something. Anyway,
all right.
I'm totally.
It's a weird, I do know it was made by the creators of Glee and Nip Tuck.
I would say the sort of feel that you get.
Yes.
Is much more towards the Nip Tuck and not right. the Glee. They don't break out into song.
So the ghosts don't sing.
No, there's no musical aspect to this. But anyway, it's interesting. I will say it's interesting. It's not that scary. It's kind of creepy. But it is dark enough that it's one of those shows that if you watch several in a row, you might feel like slitting your wrists a little.
Now, interesting question here in the chat room. Big Fatty wants to know, do the ghosts bake soft cookies?
Is there some kind of implication in that statement?
I'm sure it was a genuine question.
You know, there is this one ghost, he likes to bob for apples.
He likes to bob for apples.
But they didn't say anything about moist you know, one of the ghosts does cook some sweetbreads.
There you go. Now, here's an interesting question for me. So, if they don't know that they're ghosts, are they able to taste the food that they cooked?
No, the ghosts know that they're ghosts. The people don't.
No, but I'm saying that the other people, the ghost cooks the sweetbreads and he offers them to the real people. Are they able to taste the food that was cooked by the ghost?
I guess so. She ate it up.
Well, that sounds like a great diet plan for me.
No, I mean, I think it's real. See, this is what I don't understand about the show. It appears that the ghosts in this house can interact with real things. Like, they can actually pick shit up.
Right there, right there. That's crazy talk, because we all know, according to physics, that actual ghosts can't do that.
Well, that's what I've said to Mark over and over. That is not right. These ghosts are like picking up actual objects and stuff.
That can only be done if they have a severe amount of concentration, as was proven by Patrick Swayze in Ghost, the movie Ghost. If they concentrate really, really hard, they can like slide a penny or something. But we all know that scientifically speaking, the ghost can't.
Well, the only other thing I want to say about this, we were watching it last night and we had a horrendous storm here in Northwest Arkansas.
Yes.
For any of you who were watching I don't know if any actual tornadoes came through, but we had wind gusts of like 70 miles per hour. And we were in
Were there any Republicans near? Maybe it was just, the spin off of...
It could have been.
Something they were saying.
But I was... we were sitting there watching, you know, it's just crazy that we were watching this ghost, you know, this horror story. And all of a sudden you hear this... You know, I mean, like this really, if the walls were shaking, it was so loud. Mm-hmm. And then the lights flicker and it gets louder. It sounds like a train. I mean, I thought it was a tornado because it sounded like a train was about to come through my apartment. I'm not lying.
But it wasn't.
I was like, Mark, we may need to go in the bathroom and get in the tub. He didn't understand that, but that's what you do when there's a tornado.
Did you make him take his clothes off?
No, we didn't get in the tub, but I'm that's
speaking
what
of taking your clothes off.
Oh,
looks like James Leroy from Foul Monkeys has just joined us in the chat room. I just wanted to say a very special hi. Hi, Bradley. How you doing? Oh, sorry. Anyway, go ahead. Yes.
So that's it. And then the lights flicker.
Yes.
And then the lights go out and it's completely pitch black dark. If the show had only been a little bit scarier, I would have thought I would have been scared. But,
see, now that we have another show on the trailer and I don't want to talk about it now because we've spoken about TV too much. So let's move on to something that I do want to talk about, which is there was an event that happened today, the day that we are recording. Wow, that was hard to say. So today is October 14th, a Sunday, and there was a big event that happened today. And actually, there were two events that happened today. One of them was completely fucking useless, and the other one was of significance and importance, and guess which one the internet latched onto?
I don't know. I think you're probably going to tell us.
The completely fucking useless one. Some dude jumps out of a capsule and does a space jump. Really? Is this, like, how does this help mankind at all? Like, in what interesting things did we learn about him jumping out of the space capsule? In the meantime, the space shuttle Endeavour was making the most complicated, technically amazing move across a 14-mile stretch of Los Angeles, rolling into his new home at the California Science Museum. I could not find any kind of video on the Endeavour move whatsoever. But everyone's got to watch the Australian jackass jump out of a capsule.
Was it floating in the ocean?
No, he took a capsule. I don't even know what it was. It's like he got in a tin can and he strapped a balloon to it and he went way the fuck up in the air and he jumped. Woohoo!
Oh, so it wasn't. Oh, okay, when you say space capsule, you're not talking about an actual, because I know we had recently, or this last week, there was the first commercial U.S. space something or other where they went up and they took groceries to the space station. They delivered groceries.
Was it like Peapod or something? Like
I guess.
The space station up there. Oh, yeah, I'd like some Diet Coke. And
I don't know. Maybe they have
frozen dinners on sale. I would like one of those.
They have a website for that, I'm sure, where they go on and like Amazon, but there's some other name for it, I'm sure. But it, you know, if they can deliver to space, I would really like grocery delivery here.
So it just really frosts my butt because I like the space program. I grew up in Florida. I was born and raised in Florida, so I'm you know, right there next to the space center. So I just found it really kind of insulting that here with the retired shuttle Endeavour, which has made I forget 27 different missions, flown around the Earth countless hundreds of times. Is an important part of our history. It was moving across and doing the most incredible. It was sitting on four different independent movers that were joined together to function as one. So it could actually move directly sideways or any kind of combination of things so that it could zigzag in and out of the trees and the telephone poles going down the road so that they didn't have to take out all the trees. It was a $10 million move that took 3 days to go across LA. And if you go to the LA Times, did a great job of doing still photography on it. I just really wanted to see that last little bit when it rolled into the Science Museum. But let me ask you some space shuttle trivia, Adam.
I will suck at this, but
all right,
first of all,
how many actual orbiters were there in the fleet, active at any one time?
Orbiters.
Oh, how orbiters. Many different ships? How many different space shuttles did we? What was the most number of active space shuttles that we had working at any one time?
I was really confused because I was like, what do we need orators for in the
fleet? Well, you know, they like to make the speeches.
So anyway, I have no clue, but I'm going to say something like three.
Close. There were four. So there were actually five orbiters total, but only four were ever in service at one time because Endeavour was actually built to replace Columbia, which blew up. Actually, no. Endeavour was built to replace Challenger, which blew up. We didn't replace Columbia. It blew up. So there you go. So would you like to just take a stab? There were five orbiters, right? Only four in service at one time, but there were five total orbiters. I've just given you the name of several of them. Can you name all five?
No.
I just gave you...
Columbia?
Columbia.
Discovery,
correct.
I
just gave you two other names.
Marsha, Jan.
How about the one that was moving? Just now.
I rarely pay attention to you on this show.
Endeavor?
Yes. I don't know. Go right ahead.
Columbia, which I mentioned twice just now. And Atlantis. There you go. Those are the five orbiters.
I never said that I have special listening skills where I actually absorb what's being said to me.
I'm just saying.
Try having an Asian boyfriend and not paying attention because, anyway.
Never mind then. I'm not going to ask you any more questions about
that. No, keep going.
This is why people give a shit about some Australian dude jumping out of a fucking space capsule or whatever.
You are so pouty sometimes. Finish the quiz. I'm going to suck. But that's the funny.
No, I didn't have a made-up quiz available. I was just going to ask you some random interesting questions.
What are some more interesting questions?
Of the five orbiters, which one was the heaviest?
Oh, God. See, I don't... Atlantis, because it sunk.
Actually, Columbia, because it was the first, and the building materials had gotten better over time. So actually, Columbia and Challenger were both the two heaviest. However, Columbia, because it started its life off as a test vehicle, actually, they left some of the avionics on it, which were heavier than the ones on Challenger. So Columbia, to give you an example, weighed 8,000 pounds more than Endeavor, which was the newest of the shuttles. So.
That would make sense, but since I didn't know the order that they were built, then, you know...
Columbia and Challenger were the first two that were built. They were built at the... Actually, Columbia was built at the same time as... actually, Challenger was built at the same time as Enterprise, but they were all space... They were all the test flights. And then they were retrofitted to be shuttles. Discovery was the first shuttle that was built to be just a shuttle. And then Atlantis and Endeavor were the last two. There you go.
Atlantis. I wonder if you go on Atlantis or, you know, if like they serve you little drinks with umbrellas and there are other hot gay boys on there.
They do. Right. The Challenger, of course, if you will remember, the Challenger blew up as it took off with the school teacher in it. And then the Columbia disintegrated on landing. So those are the two that we lost.
Interestingly enough, I was in school the day that happened, and we were watching it on TV when it exploded.
And you were scarred for life, which is clearly why you suck at the Space Shuttle trivia game.
I've never been great at the trivia because... people, and maybe you're different, but I think like programmers, for instance, have a lot of logic skills where you can piece things together and you can solve problems and you're very creative. Also, musicians tend to be very creative, but I don't have the best recall skills. So you'll notice a lot of programmers will have books by them all the time because they can't remember the exact syntax of everything. Yes. So I can, you know, formulate complex answers, but I have to have books in front of me.
Excellent.
Apparently.
All right. Well, before we leave this topic, name the five shuttles.
Columbia, Columbia, Challenger. I can't do them in order. Atlantis, Discovery, and motherfucker.
You're going to miss the same one again, aren't you?
Endeavor.
If I were to play, yes, thank you. It's Endeavor. I was going to say, if you were to play this back, it would be the one that I mentioned the most. And George in Atlanta says it's the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Anyway,
exactly. That's my thoughts.
So we're going to skip over the television show. So tell me about your restaurant.
Well, so this is another coupley thing, but we've decided that what we're going to do is to make our lives more interesting. And I think lots of people do this, so it's not like we're unique. But we're going to, Mark and I, that is, we're going to pick a new restaurant every week. And we're going to go to that restaurant and eat. Pretty simple. So I was going to pick the one, and he said...
As opposed to just go there and sit?
No, I was rambling. So he may even start a blog. He wants to start... He hasn't yet, but he was thinking about starting a blog and like putting photos of the food.
Mittens blog. Is he going to call it the Mittens Report or something?
No, he was looking for like a restaurantaweek.com or something like that. I don't know if he's going to do it. He hasn't actually followed through.
I think he should start one called Smitten with Mittens.
Maybe. But that has nothing to do with the topic, though.
With Mittens. Mittens Vittles.
Well, I'll leave that up to him if he wants to do it. But I was in charge of selecting our very first restaurant after we had decided this is what we were going to do. So I thought, I'm kind of in the mood for tapas.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Right. Well, we didn't have peanut butter and jelly, but so I thought I'm going to pick a sort of tapas kind of, but it maybe not tapas. Tapas.
A topless bar.
No, tapas. T-A-P-A-S. Yes. So normally those, it's Spanish.
The rest of the universe calls them appetizers.
I like it because, okay, this is the perfect type of restaurant for me because I cannot make a decision to save my life. Mm-hmm. And when I go to a restaurant with like this huge menu, then it takes me forever to decide what I'm going to eat. That's why normally if I find something I like, I will order the same thing every time I go back to the same place. That's the way I am. But tapas is good for me because they're small plates and they're cheaper. So you can order a lot of different items. So you can kind of decide what you like. Normally it's Spanish food.
Eating
but
out with mittens.
Yes. Maybe so. I'll submit those to him and then he can decide. But so I decided on this restaurant. It was not Spanish food, but it was small plates. So a cheap small plates that you could order lots of them. So the name of the restaurant was Heirloom Food and Gifts.
Heirloom Food and Gifts. I like the and gifts part.
Yeah. So and it had really good reviews on Urban Spoon.
Stay for the gifts.
And we actually have a pretty good selection of restaurants around here for it to be Arkansas. So anyway, we drive up and it's in downtown Rogers and it's a tiny little place on the square. It just, you know, looks like it's tiny. I don't know, maybe right. 800 square feet or something like that. And we walk in and first of all, there were only four tables, just four tables.
Four.
We walk in. And there's an old man, an old woman, and a younger, maybe 30s to early 40s, like late 30s, early 40s woman.
For the appetizers.
The the kitchen was right there, like at the back. You just saw everything. You know,
fuck, I gotta go cook now. God damn it.
and this was the scary part. There was only one table that had clientele sitting there, and it was like this old 80-year-old couple. And I was like, oh my God. First of all, we're a gay couple coming in. The only clientele, and this was so cozy. Like we were almost sitting elbow to elbow with these other people. And come to find out throughout the evening that the owners is a husband and a wife and their daughter. And the daughter is the chef and the other ones. So we decide the menu was very, there wasn't a lot. There were only five items on the small plate menu. And then there were a bunch of items on like a tiny, I don't know what they called it, but a cheaper, like smaller plate.
Right.
And, you know, we're both guys. We like to eat. And then we go in and they say, well, we don't have any of the smaller plates. We only have the larger, smaller
plates.
How
do they not have the smaller plates?
I don't know. But anyway, so we said, we'll just take one of each. And the guy goes, no one's ever done that, but one of each. No one's ever done that before. Honey, they're going to have one of each. And she looked at him like, are they crazy? And, you know, I mean, there's like five people in the entire restaurant and they're all like talking about the fact that we're going to have one of each. And I'm like, you know,
of the big plates, not the little plates.
Yes. And, you know, they're not huge. I mean,
no, you got the big boy plates now.
So, I mean, these are $6 plates. And that we got five. That was all there were.
It's $30.
It's $30. Oh my God. Yeah, right.
You extravagant bastard. You.
Exactly. So we were going to share. Obviously, we're going to share. And so anyway, and she's like, the chef was talking to us as she was cooking. Chef, I say loosely, just so everyone knows, air quotes, chef.
Just say the cook.
Yes, the cook. It also doesn't bode well when you look up because their shelving was right there where you can see. And, a couple of the items.
She made cookies, by the way.
A couple of the items. Dadgum, that's stupid. We've got plenty of time. Plenty of time. You even cut out a topic. It doesn't bode well for a restaurant when you look up because you could see the kitchen.
Yes.
And one of the items on the menu is pumpkin coconut bisque. And you look up and there are like 15 cans of pumpkin on the shelf. I'm like, really? She couldn't use real fucking, but anyway, or at least put that in the back so we don't see the cans. And not
Do you
only
know
that,
how difficult it is to get pumpkin in New Zealand.
We're in North Arkansas and there.
It doesn't matter.
Do you
know? You should have stolen one of those tins of pumpkin and sent it to Arthur.
Do you know what time of year it is right now? Because you can't throw a rock without hitting a pumpkin.
You know, I happen to live here in New England where we not only grow pumpkins, but we have pumpkin festivals. So yes, I am familiar with the time of the year.
By
the way, that was a huge culture shock, because when I lived in Florida, to buy a pumpkin for Halloween to carve was no less than $12 for a pumpkin, for a single pumpkin to carve. It's like, now that I live up here, it's like 35 cents. It's like, and you can't just buy the one, you have to buy them in the six packs because they want to get rid of them. And it's just like, you go into this, I'd like to buy a pumpkin to carve. Oh, you need the six pack. It's like, right. it's $1 for six or $15 for one. So you have to buy the six.
Do they do that thing where like churches and various organizations will set up these whole lots with just pumpkins? It's yes. Like, it looks like a Christmas tree farm, except it's pumpkins instead of Christmas yes. trees. It's just, and they usually have hay bales for some reason.
Yes. And actually on my way to work, right next to us, right next to where I work, is one of those big farms that has the corn maze, and they grow all the pumpkins and stuff. So their land butts up to the interstate. So they have a huge hay bale and pumpkin display in their field that you can see from the interstate that as you drive past.
So I'm just saying, if she's going to, and they choose, I think they choose the menu per month based yes. on like seasonal vegetables and stuff. If you're going to choose a seasonal, like a pumpkin, for yes. God's sake, could you buy a fucking pumpkin and boil it and puree it? How much, really? It doesn't, I have boiled a pumpkin before and made a pumpkin. It is not that difficult. That's all I got to say. But the food was okay. I mean, it was all right.
Oh, yes.
But nothing that I would like write home about. And I could cook better than most of the items that they brought out. But we couldn't say. And it was like grandma and grandpa and their daughter, you know, and grandpa would come over and he'd be like, oh, guys, you know, how was your food? Well, there are like five people in there. We can't. And we felt like we were eating at grandma's house. We couldn't say we didn't like it. We're like, oh, great. You know, every dish that they brought out, we had to like, you know, act like it was the best thing in the world.
The best thing in the world.
And only one other set of people came in. And it was another 80-year-old couple. And Mark thought it, well, we both thought it was kind of funny. These were supposed to come on one plate, but the chef, air quotes, made it a point to divide our food onto two separate plates for each plate.
Yes.
I don't know if they didn't want the gay boys to be sharing off of one plate, or she was just trying to be nice. I don't know.
She was probably just trying to be nice.
She's like, you guys need some kind of badge for being the first brave enough to eat everything on the menu.
You should probably never use that terminology if you are a restaurateur, implying that people are brave to eat your food.
I think she said at one point,
buy it, use it, break that. It, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it.
DI Plus technology segment brought to you by Big Fatty Online. When you need technical questions answered on the internet, go to BigFattyOnline.com. All right. I'm delighted. So can we look forward to a restaurant every single week that you're going to regale us with the menu of a restaurant?
I don't know. We're going to go to a restaurant every week, but I don't know if I'll mention it. Unless everyone wants a 15-minute restaurant story every week.
I think we passed 15 minutes ago. Anyway, let's move on here to our tech segment here. Adam, I believe you, sir, have the first entry on our tech segment.
You know, I just want to say that when I'm very short and to the point and succinct about something, no one notices that. But when I go long about something, oh, we got to bring up the soft damn cookies every time. That's all I got to say. This is a really short one. I am addicted to Foursquare only because I am competitive.
All right. First of all, what is Foursquare?
All right. So Foursquare is this absolutely pointless app. There is no fucking point to it. But it's on Android, iPhone, and Windows Phone.
Yes.
And on the web, although I don't yes. see you taking a laptop around with you. But the whole thing is when you go to places, you check in.
Yes.
And they have expanded upon this since the beginning. You get points for checking in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can compete with your friends, like on how many points you have. And you can become mayor of places by being the person who checks in the most
yes.
at that place. And I didn't do it, but it was something that Mark did. And so I downloaded it on my phone and I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to try it out. And now they've expanded. You can get deals. So like at Chili's, for instance, if you check in at Chili's, you get free chips and salsa every time. So that's cool.
Because that sounds racist, actually.
Free chips and salsa for
it's an old Archer radio joke.
Hey, anyway, so you get free chips and salsa, and your third check-in at Chili's, you get a free dessert. So that's, I mean, that's, you actually save money. So that's cool.
Well, then how, then it negates you saying that it's a completely pointless app.
Well, I mean, for the most part, I mean, who cares where I am all day long? I mean, who's really
it
following?
You know what? But apparently Chili's cares that you come back three times. So,
okay,
you know,
well, maybe it's
cares.
Not pointless. Maybe maybe I should feel better about myself. I'm not using a pointless app. But regardless, I have an issue because Mark, I cannot seem to beat that boy, and he's mayor of like five different places. And I don't know if it's, I think there's something wrong with the Windows Phone app.
Really?
I think that like I'm getting less points because I'm on a Windows Phone. It must be. Because he will, and sometimes he will like check in somewhere, and you're supposed to get like first of your friends to be there or whatever.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll check in, and it's a place that in here in Arkansas that no one else except for he or I would have gone to.
Yes.
And because all my other friends are like in other countries and stuff, and I won't get first of my friends. He'll check in 2 minutes after me, and he'll get first of his friends.
Yes.
And we're friends on Foursquare. So it's cheating. It's giving him more points.
Yes.
I don't understand this. And
have you written to Foursquare?
Yesterday, no, I haven't. Yesterday, he goes,
you know what, as an app developer, I would want to know about a bug like that.
Yesterday,
I don't necessarily
he goes,
have all the different platforms.
I'm now mayor of the mall. I was like, fuck you. You never go to the mall. How are you mayor of the mall? Somebody else has got to be. You go to the mall like once every 3 weeks or something. How are you mayor of the GD mall? But what I want to know is, if anyone
do you get anything for being mayor of the mall? Like, does he get a discount or?
Well, you just get more points. If you're mayor
can
of some.
Can he kick people out of the mall? Does it come with any kind of real power? Like, you know, like, I'm the mayor of the mall. You
no,
must
I don't.
Leave.
I don't think so. But when you are mayor of, like, other establishments like restaurants and stuff, I think you can get those special deals. Like,
you can make people leave?
Like
that would be awesome.
You can't make people leave. Big Fatty has asked a very good question.
Yes.
Who cares about the mayor of the mall?
I was trying to.
And what I want to say is
yes,
that I mentioned at the beginning of this segment that I think the app is fairly pointless, but I am competitive and I want to beat him to the ground.
Yes.
I do not understand how this boy gets so many points. He's obviously cheating.
You are aware that Google Plus has a check-in thing, and Google Plus does points too. Why don't you just switch and do it on Google Plus, and then you can be beating him on
He
that
doesn't
thing.
Use that one, so it would be
well,
pointless.
Well, then you'd be a shoe-in. You'd
oh,
win.
Look, I beat you, Mark. You don't even use this, but I beat you. It's
you know, are you on the MySpace?
MySpace.
Yeah, whatever. No, the Facebook thing.
Oh, Facebook. Yeah, I am on Facebook.
There's a game there you should play against me. It's called You Don't Know Jack.
Love that game, except
it's
I suck because I don't like to play Facebook games because you get all these posts on your wall that
no,
you don't
no, no,
want.
No, they go into the games feed now. But yeah, that's the only thing I do on Facebook now is I play You Don't Know Jack. So go and play You Don't Know Jack on Facebook.
All right, I'll play you on You Don't Know. But anyway, well, I want to say one other thing. If any of our listeners know of any articles or how-tos that will help me.
No. What you have to approach this is as part of your duties as the news director here on DI Plus, you are doing a hard-hitting investigative report on the rampant cheating in Foursquare.
Right. Well, I was looking earlier and I found a website that's supposed to tell you how close you are to being mayor of an area. Because, yes. But then I went there and it must have been inaccurate because it told me I was -1 days away from being the mayor of some place that I am clearly not mayor of. And how the hell can I be -1 days away from being the mayor and not be the mayor? So either Foursquare has changed the mayor rules since this website was created. Mm-hmm. Or it just sucks, or both. I'm not sure.
You know, now the chat room brings up a good point here. And by the chat room, I mean Big Fatty. The podcast cast awards will not go well if DI Plus is not nominated. See, because you are too competitive. So, like, now if we're not nominated, you're going to be all pissy.
Oh, is that okay? I was trying to see why they were saying that in the chat room.
Right.
You know what? If we're not nominated for the podcast awards for best produced.
But you know what? Best produced is a really big category. We may not. We may have gotten every single one of our listeners to nominate us, and we still may not make it into there because that is a big category.
Well, that's a good excuse
to
you.
That's one of the two categories that you can double nominate, right? You can nominate best produced as well as another category. You can't nominate the same show in other categories. So, you know.
I'm not going to be pissy because if we don't get nominated, we will never speak of the podcast awards ever again on this show. We will, you know, if we do, it will be
excellent.
That award thing that we don't speak of anymore.
Right.
It's what
that foul monkeys won. All right. So I want to get to my little tech segment here thing. This is quasi tech. So this is tech that's approachable to everyone. And the only reason I want to bring this into the tech segment is because I've been asked this question by multiple people. So two of them that I'm going to mention are people who have emailed me that know that I'm going to say their name. So TJ from Nowhere and Foul Monkeys, Bradley from Foul Monkeys, have asked me questions about microphones. And so I just wanted to cover this really, really quickly. So they're talking about podcasting. They're talking about, you know, upgrading their microphones and yada, yada, yada. And that's a really, really big thing to say to someone. Like, what is the best microphone? The answer to that is it really depends on you. What you like, what you want to hear, and what you're willing to spend. You can spend, you know, $900 on a Shure broadcast microphone, but I don't know necessarily that you're going to hear a difference between that and, say, a Heil PR30 that you only pay, you know, $200 for, or even, you know, a PR20 that you may only hear, you know, that you may only pay $180 for. I think as a good example, because both of those two people that asked were in Vegas. So the microphone down at the end of the table was the Heil PR30. That was my microphone. And then the three microphones that you spoke into the side of were yours. And I can't remember what are yours.
Okay, mine are not. I was going to say, and I use a $30 microphone, and I just knew that I was going to get it. Yeah, you can tell. A lot of people think that I sound good. So I use a Behringer C1.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's anywhere from $35 to $50.
Right.
And, you know, it works well enough. I want to upgrade at some point, but for what I needed, it was, you know.
So keep in mind, yours are condenser mics. Mine are dynamic mics. So
yes.
There's a price difference between those two type of microphones, being that mine doesn't require external power. So that's why dynamic mics are more expensive, because they don't require external power. They will work in any XLR plug, whereas yours require phantom power from the mixer. So they tend to be cheaper microphones because you have to have a more expensive mixer to use them. So and there's a difference. Yours tend to be more sensitive, you know, because they're getting power from an external source. And it really just has to do with the type of sound that you're going for, how noisy the environment is that you're recording in. Powered microphones like yours tend to pick up a lot more background noise than mine because of their sensitivity. You know, what the profile with the frequency range of those two microphones is. What I'm trying to say is that it is a very personal thing as to what is the best microphone. Your best thing to do is to go to some local shop, some local music store that has a bunch of different types of microphones, and try them out. Take in a pair of headphones, try them out, and see which ones you sound better on. Because the Heil is noted for having a really strong mid-range section in its profile. But if your voice isn't made for that, if you're a female and you have a higher register voice, or if you're a male and you have a really low register voice, that may not help you at all. So why would you spend the extra, you know, $150 for something that is outside of the range that is going to help you? Wow, I'm talking with my hands a lot. The other question that was asked, I had asked Bradley when he was wanting to replace his microphones whether or not he had a shock mount. And he asked the question, what is a shock mount? And so I know a lot of times we don't cover that. In Vegas, we did not bring any shock mounts with us because they are bulky. But the concept of a shock mount is that it surrounds your microphone at the end of the mic stand. Adam is now pointing to one on video, but if you're not listening on video, it is kind of like a suspended cage that the microphone sits in, so that it isolates it from any kind of vibration. So Adam could actually move his mic stand there. So you put your hand on your mic stand there and move it around, and you'll see that it's not making any noise. Whereas if I were to move mine, you would hear it because I don't have one. So it's would you pay for yours? Like an additional $50 or so for those?
No, I don't remember, but I think it was like 10, 15, 20.
Yeah. So what it covers you from banging on your mic stand, or if you're using a desk-based mic stand, it would isolate it from you typing on a keyboard, the vibrations from that kind of a thing. So a shock mount is just something, it's totally optional. It depends on your setup. I don't use one because I use a boom mic over to the side that I don't normally hit. So
it helps a little bit, but to be honest, if it, you can still hear some noise if you move a lot, or, and maybe it also depends on the microphone, but that wouldn't be the first thing I would invest in, but they're not that expensive, so it doesn't hurt.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it helps a little.
So I would, you know, far as best microphone goes, make sure if you do go with a powered mic, make sure you have a mixer that provides phantom power. Not all mixers do, although most modern mixers do. But just make sure that your mic, that your mixer actually does provide phantom power.
Also, sometimes the mixer has a button when you can turn where you can turn that power off or on. Mm-hmm. So make sure you have it on.
Yes.
Otherwise, your mic won't work.
Yes, Gene ran into that. And so there you go. That's my advice. I know it's not like very specific, but that is my advice, is just kind of test out a bunch of microphones, because it really depends on what it is that you want to hear. And there is no right or wrong answer. The best microphone is the one that you are happy with, not any particular brand or anything like that. So there you go.
I don't even know why I chose condenser over dynamic. I'm sure when I started podcasting, there was some reason that I made that decision. And
probably
now
you were having to buy multiples. And so the condensers, as I said before, tend to be a little bit cheaper because you have to have a mixer that provides power. So like I used the PR30, which at the time that I bought it was $249. So that's, you know, if you were doing a show with two people and you wanted multiple mics, that would have been a hefty chunk of change to buy like three mics.
I know there was some sound reason. There's something about a condenser that not that they sound better, but there's some aspect of a condenser that I guess I'd liked. I'm not sure. I do turn my gain lower than you turn yours, because mine will. Yeah. I mean, if there's a fly taking a shit in the next room.
Yep. And that's why, they're a lot more sensitive. Whereas the dynamics like I use are, you have to be right up on them. And so they work better in noisy environments, like with air conditioning running or traffic noises and stuff like that, because they tend to trail off as I sit back away from the microphone. Of course, that's a bad example because... Level in and take care of it. Anyway, so there you go. That is my suggestion for microphones.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, track it, drop it, zip and zoom it.
The news.
I don't know why I always pick gross ones, and you get grossed out really easily too, but I'm just going to go with it anyway. Edward Archibald was, according to those who met him on Friday night, the life of the party. A bit of a show-off who was up for anything, even a giant cockroach-eating contest.
Yes.
He won.
Yes, yay!
And then, tragically, he died.
Aww.
Now, police from Deerfield Beach, Florida, about 40 miles north of Miami, are investigating the death of the 32-year-old, who on Facebook went by Edward William Barry. According to the Broward Sheriff's Office,
took me a while to find that, sorry.
He and several other contestants signed up to eat a variety of insects at Ben Siegel Reptiles in Deerfield Beach.
Funny story, I used to have a house in Deerfield Beach. I used to live there.
Well, I think anything in Florida, you either know someone there, you've lived near there, you shopped there. So the prize, if you won this, was a ivory ball python.
Yes.
So he also had entered a super worm eating contest earlier night.
So he won. So what happened to the python?
Well, I don't know if it says. After winning, he felt sick and started vomiting. He then collapsed in the store and was later pronounced dead. The medical examiner's office is conducting tests to determine a cause of death, according to the sheriff's office statement.
And what was the cause of death?
Well, they don't know yet.
You know, I think cockroaches are probably pretty high in carbs.
It could be. I did hear there are, first of all, I heard this on a radio show that I listened to, and several people said that these cockroaches are raised in, you know, a certain environment so that they will be safe to be eaten by pets. And so they're it's not like they're going and like trapping them from old abandoned buildings or, you know, I don't know, nuclear power plant. They're not going to have any bacteria on them that should be deathly. So, but I don't know. I do not know the cause of death. I'll have to do some investigative reporting.
You know, as news director, you should probably, you know, find that out.
I'm not sure. And it doesn't say what happened to the python. I assume they just maybe gave it to the runner up. I'm not certain.
No, wait, shouldn't it go to his estate or something? I mean, he won.
Well, anyone that's going to eat a cockroach to win a python, estate.
This reminds me that just this past week, the Nexus 7 tablet arrived at the winner's home. That would be Jay the Haunt Cub, who won the Nexus 7 from Vegas. Now, if something tragic had happened and Jay had died, I wouldn't have sent it to someone like to run her up or something. I still would have sent it to, you know, to Jay's home.
We didn't really plan that out. The estate of Edward Barry whatever, his trailer home, and his collection of old Nintendo cartridges.
Ah, there you go. Big Fatty. And Big Fatty is catching up to you here, and he's vying for that news director job. He says they did say it would go to his estate.
Well, that's what we have the chat room for, to finish out, to complete our stories. A fire that destroyed 8 units at an apartment complex in Holland Township, Michigan, is believed to have been sparked by a man using a propane torch to cook a squirrel for lunch. The resident was on a deck on the 3rd floor of the Clearview Apartments. He was using the torch to burn off the squirrel's fur. It's good,
you know,
that I...
You know, like you do.
Exactly. I mean, right, what, yeah. You know, first of all, you're... I don't know. Who thinks of that?
Why,
is that the
why are you making it weird? Why are you making it weird and everything? He's just burning the fur off. I mean, how else would you do it? Really? I mean, when you think about it.
You know.
It's, you know, it's not like a chicken that you could just pluck or whatever. You know, you have
I don't know if anyone's aware of this. I am from Arkansas. And people do eat squirrel here.
I can do one better. You know, when my grandmother died, she left to me the DAR cookbook, which is the Daughters of the American Revolution cookbook. There is an actual recipe that I have for squirrel cacciatore that calls for 6 to 8 medium-sized squirrels skinned and dressed.
Well, see, that's the thing. First of all, you have to cook a lot of those things because they are not very large. So there is not a lot of meat on that. And then we had this guy back where I'm from. And he used to go hunting for squirrels, and he would have he would cook and have like squirrel stew or something like that. But because a squirrel is so small, you use shot that has, I don't know the correct terminology for all this, but you use squirrel shot, and it's got little pellets in the bullet, tiny little pellets. So it spreads out and you have a better chance of hitting it, and you don't have like this big, huge bullet making a hole in your squirrel, you know? The problem is that it leaves pellets all in the squirrel. And when you're dressing said squirrel, if you don't remove all of those pellets and then someone goes to eat the squirrel, you bite down on some pellets.
Yes.
You can break a tooth on that shit.
Break a tooth on the damn squirrel.
And he also apparently did not use the burning off the fur with the torch method. And sometimes I would get a little fur in my mouth because he didn't clean the squirrel enough. So
can we stop this news story now? I can't find the murloc. I don't know where he's at. Just blah, 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 blah.
Anyway, there's your news.
Excellent. Well, I am delighted that that was.
You know, it's ironic that you wanted to stop the news segment.
Excellent.
And you didn't have the birthday song ready.
I did too. I just played it.
No, you were stalling.
No, I wasn't.
You were
stalling. Go, go.
All right. So our first birthday, there are 2 songs, but if you can get it on the first one, you know.
Right. Then we can cut it short. All right, it's a sitcom.
Yes, right? It is. It is a well, kind of an hour long.
Hour long. I don't know. It sounds familiar. I should know this.
What if I said, "Oh boy."
Oh, the Quantum Leap. Oh, it was Quantum Leap.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Quantum Leap. Got it.
It is Quantum Leap. Okay. Here is the second one.
That is the theme to Enterprise. So clearly we are talking about Scott Bakula.
We are talking about Scott Bakula.
The actor in common between those two shows.
So
Scott Bakula.
Yeah. Scott Bakula. Let me
played Captain Jonathan Archer, and he would have been able to name all 5 of the orbiters.
He probably would. Well, I don't know. We don't know if he knows that kind of information. Scott Bakula.
The Enterprise was named after the prototype orbiter.
Turned 58 years old.
Yes.
Happy birthday. So here's our next one, which also we have 2 for.
Okay.
Also a sitcom, by the way.
Never heard of this.
I used to love this show.
Never heard of this. Is it Betty White?
No. Okay, so I'll play the next one. This show, I do need to tell you the show. This show is Wings. Does that not, you don't even know the show Wings at all?
No.
Okay. All right, well, here's the next one. Maybe you know this one.
It's jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere.
You're just making things up now. There was no TV show that had this theme song.
Yes, there is.
No, there was no.
All right, all right. So the first one was Wings, which starred, it was about this small airport in an island. What was that island? It's right over there where you live. It's a tiny little island over there near where you live.
Martha's Vineyard.
No, it's another tiny island over there.
Oh, okay. Long Island.
But, yeah, it has Thomas Hayden Church in it, Tim Daly, the girl, who I can't remember her name. She had long blondish hair. It had an old woman who was funny. And then Nantucket. Thank you, Gravitas. Nantucket.
Nantucket. Lots of things rhyme with that.
So, also, it had the star of a show called Monk, which was the next one that I played.
You're just making things up. There are no shows called Wings or Monk.
Yes, there are both shows exist. I never watched Monk, but apparently it was very popular and went on for like eight seasons.
So we're looking for an actor that was
in Wings same. And Monk. So Tony Shalhoub. There you go.
The guy from Men in Black?
I don't know. He was in Monk. He was the main character in Monk. You know, we're past
it. Tony Shalhoub.
It's pointless.
Tony Shalhoub.
Happy
on.
Birthday, Tony Shalhoub. Jesus
Tony
Christ.
Shalhoub, yes.
Okay, here we go.
When I wake up in the morning and the lawn is out of water, this is Saved by the Bell.
Yes, and I will just mention this person is very hot naked in a shower on Nip Tuck.
It would be Mario Lopez.
It is Mario Lopez.
Ah, there you go.
Mario Lopez, who's very hot naked, is 39 years old.
39 years old.
You know, one other thing about that show I'm watching, the first couple of episodes had lots of nudity from the male character. And then they kind of stopped that after about the second. I think they were just trying to reel the gay audience in, you know.
A piece of trivia here from the chat room. Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone actually has Mario Lopez's address.
His address? Okay.
No, it has his address. His autograph.
Oh, very nice. Did he go to one of those stores where they sell prepackaged autographs?
No. He was at a convention.
No. What kind of convention? Hot actors who look good in a towel or naked?
No, it was one of those cons, one of those Comic-Con things.
They have a Saved by the Bell con?
No, but he was there because it was a soap opera. I don't know.
All right.
For whatever reason he did it. He has it. I know it was on his Flickr account. I think you can find it.
Now, I have to say that everyone in the chat room keeps saying Betty White to all of these.
Yes.
But ironically, there is a connection between Betty White and Mario Lopez. Mario Lopez was on an episode of Golden Girls when he was young.
Yes.
Before he was on Saved by the Bell, I believe.
Wow.
So, and he played an immigrant who was being deported.
Excellent.
Okay, here's the next one.
Oh, come on. Come on. We have gone through the entire fucking cast of Growing Pains.
It's been a year.
The entire freaking cast of Growing Pains. They have all had birthdays by this point. I don't even care anymore.
Think Left Behind.
It was Kirk Cameron.
Yes, Kirk Cameron. I love this show, and I love the theme song.
Excellent.
Kirk Cameron, I'm just going to let it play out. Kirk Cameron turned 42 years old. I love old 80s sitcoms.
I'm just saying, the cast of Growing Pains has a birthday every fucking week. That's why we decided to limit the birthdays down to. So are we done with our birthdays now? Or
we limited it to five, and this next one is five.
All right, what's the next one?
You're such a grumpy old man.
I am.
Really, we need to do this from a balcony overlooking a Muppets production.
We do.
Seriously.
All right, who is it?
Kirk Cameron. Okay, here's the last one.
No, I mean, it was the last one. This is the theme tonight. Nessie, now I'm remembering from last year.
You should have made a list.
Night Court. This is John Larroquette.
It's not John Larroquette.
Oh, it's Harry Anderson.
It is Harry Anderson. I love him. You know, what's old Harry Anderson been doing lately?
I think he's dead.
No, I don't think he's dead. Anyway, Harry Anderson turned 60 years old.
60 years. He's hanging out with Scott Bakula because they're the same age.
You know, and I believe, no, Scott Bakula turned 58. But I believe that he was a magician as well or something like that.
He was.
Am I thinking Matt King?
No. Harry Anderson started his career as he was into circus stuff, into sideshows and whatnot. But yes, he was a sleight of hand magician and a con man. So he did those little crazy bar bet things and lots of little sleight of hand magic. He did indeed.
I believe we had a celebrity death phone.
We might have, but we'd have to get out of the birthday segment first by doing this.
It's your birthday.
You know, it's very important to close out each segment.
You know, I wanted to, because normally you would have interrupted one of my long stories.
But just go, do it. Oh, it's going to end.
3, 2, 1.
Contact is the secret, is the moment. When everything happens, contact is the answer, is the reason that everything happens, contact.
Excellent. You know what? We'll fix it in post. The chat room is just pointing out that we're not.
You know, that's funny. That's funny that they should say that. But you know, part of our shtick is that we don't get everything just exactly. It's part of the fun of the show. You see, we're shitty. Yes.
Oh, so we're shitty by design.
Well, we're not shitty, but I mean,
I thought that was Fatty's gig.
We're showing people that, you know, real humans can do a podcast and you don't have to be
right.
Whatever.
Right. Excellent. So, yes, we did have a bunch of contact this week. Thank you very much. So let's get right to it, shall we? By the way, you put Donna Sugars down as a voicemail, but then when I looked at the Trello and played it to make sure the levels were right over here, it was Brad second. So I'm missing a Donna Sugars phone call. So if you want to find that while I go through our emails, we have an email from Carrie from Germany. He says, "Hey guys, it's Carrie from Germany, who hasn't lived in Germany in many, many years. Anyway, I've been out of the loop for so long that I didn't know that you had continued DI. I just listened to the most recent show and I look forward to catching up on all of the 57 podcasts that I've missed." Really? We've done that many? We've done 57 fucking
this
podcasts.
Don't quote me on this, but I believe this one that we're recording right now,
yes,
is episode 59.
59, says it says it right there on the Trello card, episode 59, and it says it on the Google Plus Hangout. All right, so there you go. Well, welcome back, Carrie. You know what? We used to have a thing for Carrie. Do we still have that? I wonder if we still have that.
Well, I never had that because I wasn't on the show at that point.
We had a Carrie theme song.
You may have it still.
It was an Alden song that he sang for Carrie. So Carrie used to live in Germany when she started listening to DI, and now she's back. And so anyway, so welcome back, Carrie. That was our only email that we got for the week. So let's move straight on to our voicemails here, shall we? Let's go to our very first one. I believe this one comes from the Foul Monkeys. Let's listen to it.
Hello, boys. This is Brad, a.k.a. James LeRoy from the Foul Monkeys Boys.
Yes.
I just wanted to call and let you know I've been listening to your shows lately and been very appreciative of you suggesting us for the nominations.
Yes.
I was just listening to your last show as well, and I wanted to put my two cents in about your topic about the whole sleeping through looper and...
The whole what?
Looper. Sleeping. Sleeping
okay.
To looper.
I was just listening to your last show as well, and I wanted to put my two cents in about your topic about the whole sleeping through looper.
Yes.
And Daniel's talk about Doctor Who, and wanted to tell you about how it is frustrating because Ricky, as you know, is kind of slow. Buddy Ricky.
Right.
But he didn't really get the episodes where we first introduced the Weeping Angels.
Yes.
And didn't understand how she got sent back, but then she knew she was going to be there, and so she wrote a letter, and he just got really confused, and it was really frustrating because we had to pause the episode for a good 20 minutes to explain this to him, and it just kind of ruined it. So Don't fall asleep in a movie, ever.
Don't.
Goodbye.
Don't ever fall asleep in a movie. Are you
Well, I, yes. I can't help it. I'm old. And I fall asleep in movies sometimes. That's all.
This makes you like Ricky. And is that really what you want? You really want to be like Ricky?
Well, what's wrong with being? I personally like Ricky. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why there's a.
Got nothing. All right, let's go to our next voicemail here, shall we?
Adam, Daniel, hey, it's George in Atlanta. Well, listen, guys, thanks so much for a wonderful Pride 48 event. I appreciate all your hard work.
Hey,
I
would have called this
sooner,
last time?
But I've been.
Did we play this last time? Yeah, we played it last time.
Yeah, I don't know where that
said,
even...
No, I know what it was because I had that flagged because George said something to me on Google+. Let me find him.
I don't even know where you're getting that from because it's not even in the Trello.
No, it was in my... Well, the Scotty thing had to come out of it. Ooh, I just gave away who our next caller is. Anyway, So George posted this on... On Google+. He says, Daniel Brewer, suck it. Follow the link and play the audio file for how primer is pronounced. So I did. I followed this link. I went in here, and now I'm going to play what I heard.
Primer.
What the fuck? What do you have against...
Primer.
That sounds exactly like what I said.
But primer.
I think you may be missing the definition, because I think primer is something you put on before you paint a wall.
I'm just saying. He sent me to this page, and he says, play on this page. So I...
Primer.
There you go. I don't know. Clearly, George is, maybe he has a different browser. Maybe his browser settings are different.
Primer.
Because he's come out like that. But I'm just saying that...
Primer.
Is exactly what I wanted to play. There you go. Anyway, that was that, and that was the Hoosie What's It. So let's go to our next voicemail, shall we? Hello.
G'day, Adam. This is Scotty, your little Aussie battler. And from two shows ago, I heartily agree with you. If you can't say anything nice, you shouldn't say anything at all. Of course, that would mean that most of the podcasts we listen to would have to shut down. Okay, bye-bye now.
I don't remember what I was talking about when I said, oh, yeah, that was...
Right.
Yes, but that's different. It was an unsolicited comment on a Facebook post.
Right.
Anyway, but I still love you, Scotty.
Scotty, the little Aussie battler. So, what was I going to say? Now I've forgotten what it was. That's probably just because we're old and we forget things.
Right? It probably is. I just keep hitting mute and then you leave a big pause and I go, oh, I'm muted.
I fell asleep. All right, let's go to our next voicemail, shall we? Hello.
Hello, it's Brad again, a.k.a. James LeRoy from the Foul Monkey Boys.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to also call to clarify something since you guys talked about our pee hole episode.
Yes.
Pocket in the underwear thing.
Yes.
We had a listener ask us specifically if we don't touch, and we all agreed unanimously that we, just like you guys, like to touch our junk. That's it. Goodbye.
So they had a caller ask them specifically. I don't know what that means, specifically. Is that like systemically or something? Perhaps he meant specifically.
Probably.
Yeah. So I guess so. The Foul Monkeys likes to touch their junk. Wow, I can't talk. Imagine that, me making fun of.
Well, you know,
Bradley for not being able to talk, and here I am not being able to talk. So.
Wait, you're thinking about them touching their junk.
I am. I'm thinking about them touching their junk. Not all of them, just Bradley. All right, which I know pisses off Waylon when I say
You know, that. You should really isolate the segment where he the segment of the voicemail where he says we like to touch our junk.
I should, except it's a phone call. So maybe I'll just fly out to Chicago and record it there.
Oh, okay.
You'll do that. Our very last phone call here. Let's get to this, shall we? Hello.
Well, hello, boys. It's Donna Sugars.
Hi, Donna.
I'm listening to your show.
Yes.
And you guys were talking about the movie Looper and
yes.
That cute boy's prosthetics. Adam, darling, those are actually some pretty good prosthetics. I've actually looked at some really good up-close pictures. I've actually seen some pictures with natural lighting and not film lighting. Those came out really, really well. I could point out some really shitty prosthetics that you might not have noticed.
Like Big Fatty's balls?
It's really easy to, especially when you're watching something in high definition, to see a really shitty prosthetic. So go back and watch some old movies with lots of prosthetics and cringe and fear.
Could you pause it right here?
Yes.
Donna. Okay, so you went to school for this, but I will have you know that I watch Face Off.
Yes.
So I am qualified to talk about prosthetics.
As someone who watches a TV show about makeup, you are fully qualified to talk about the intricacies of
exactly. I watch Face Off every week, and I am now an expert on shitty prosthetics. Let me tell you, it doesn't. My point is, it may be a very well executed prosthetic, meaning maybe you can't tell, you know, seams or anything like that and what have you. But I think it is a poorly conceptualized prosthetic. And I think that it was an unneeded prosthetic. I don't think we needed help imagining him as a younger Bruce Willis. And it bothered me. It was like they had a union prosthetic creator on the side of the set going, I need to do something on this movie. And they're like, oh, well, make a prosthetic for his chin. Go right ahead.
That's what I went to school for, Tommy. And they're made out of silicone nowadays, so they're so much better. Okay, I'm sorry. You guys were also talking about the World of Warcraft playing the woman running in Maine.
Yes.
Now, I had multiple feelings about this, and I know Daniel, I think Daniel could have expanded more upon it.
I could have.
I really wonder if she was a human in that game, if it would have played any difference, because some of the comments I read, they really were playing up the fact that she was an orc assassin.
Yes.
Like, somehow the fact that she played an orc and not an alliance human character, would it have made any difference if she was an alliance priest?
No.
Or an alliance human paladin? I think it's kind of pathetic, and I think the fact that she goes into a fantasy world that isn't real to kill things, which, I mean, she's protecting the innocent by killing things that are hurting the innocent. So if that's her quest, if she has to go do it, she's killing the thing. What's worse, going to a fantasy world and killing fantasy characters as part of an ongoing storyline as you as a hero, or taking a rifle, going out to the middle of the forest and shooting innocent creatures and then chopping off their heads and sticking it on your wall? Okay, I'm not an anti-hunter, but I'm personally for the killing fantasy characters. I'm sorry, it got a little crazy. Okay, I'm sorry. Kisses. Love the show. Bye.
Okay, one more comment about this.
Yes.
It's absolutely horrendous that people go out and kill things and then stuff them and put them on their wall. They should clearly be removing their fur with a blowtorch.
Exactly. That's how you do it. So just to refresh everyone, there was a senatorial candidate for state senate in Maine or something that was running, and the opponents were basically playing up the fact that she played World of Warcraft. So to answer your question, Donna, I don't think it had anything to do with her being an orc. I think it was more concentrated on her being a rogue assassin. So her basically, you know, being a rogue, like hides and shadows and kills things like that. I think had she been playing an orc priest, I don't even think you can play an orc priest. But if she was playing an orc shaman or something like that, they might have played up a different religious angle to it. But if she'd been playing alliance priest, I don't know that necessarily she would. But they just would have played up the fact that she was, you know, playing a pretend video game or something, that she wasted her time doing that. It doesn't matter. The entire point of the story was that they had nothing policy-wise that they could argue about with this person. So they had to resort to like some petty little thing about like what she does in her spare time. Anyway, so it's been requested in the chat room. I'm just going to do this right here in the contact segment. This is our one and only Celebrity Death Call for the week. Let's listen to that, shall we?
And Barry Collins has gone to greater things in the sky. Barry Collins dead at 74. Once again, tourniquet. Cheers.
There you go. So there was our one and only Celebrity Death Call, Gary Collins. Wasn't he the host of like some cheesy?
Well, I saw that he was a game show host, but wasn't he on a show? Like, not a game show, but wasn't he actually on a show?
I don't know. I think he was. Well, I think he was like the host of Entertainment Tonight or something. An interconnected network of computers that we could ask this question to and see if what the. Big Fatty says talk show. Is the he is that that network of computers.
I know that when I looked him up and saw his, because I recognized the name, but I wasn't sure who he was. I looked him up and I recognized his picture. So I've seen him somewhere for sure.
Let's see what the old Wikipedia says about him. Gary Collins co-starred with Jack Warden and Mark Slade in the 1965 series The Wackiest Ship in the Army. So he was in a movie. He co-starred with Dale Robertson and Robert Random in the television series The Iron Horse. And in 1972, he was in the television series The Sixth Sense as parapsychologist Dr. Michael Rhodes.
There was a series named The Sixth Sense before the movie?
Apparently. He was also a guest star on dozens of television shows, including Perry Mason, The Virginian, Hawaii Five-O, The $6 Million Man, ALF, The Love Boat, Charlie's Angels, Friends, and JAG. He also had roles in the 1969 Andy Griffith film Angel in My Pocket and in the 1970 film Airport. So there you go. And here it is. Here it is. He hosted the television talk show Our Magazine from 1980 to 88. So,
well, happy birthday. I mean, happy death.
Happy Death Day,
Gary Collins.
So I don't know where the ta-da sound is because I'm working it around, so I'll just give you this turnip head.
Oh, I like that one.
Excellent. All right, so
that's what
play us out. Play us out of the contact segment.
All righty.
3, 2, 1. Excellent. Take a drink. So,
I think I will right now.
So there you go. You're gonna play You Don't Know Jack on Facebook for me, right? And anyone else out there,
I will.
So if you would like to play You Don't Know Jack on Facebook, make sure you do that. And because, you know, I would like to get some free booty.
I love some free booty.
I'm just saying you get if you play a game that I've already played, it matches you up against the way I played that game. And then if I win, if I score higher than you, even though we didn't play at the same time, I actually get some money off of that because we're friends on Facebook and you're playing the game at a different time that I was.
Oh, so the only reason you want to play me is because you think that I'm more dumb than you are, or I'm stupider than you are. So you're convinced that you're going to beat me and you're going to get booty.
No.
Is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's what you have read into this. What I was trying to say is that, you know, let's say that Big Fatty joined Facebook for some reason, right? And he scored higher than you in that game, then he would have licked you in that game and gotten money. But in reality, he would have licked you for free.
Wait. That's not even right. No, see, that is not licked you for free. You didn't even. So I have a much better. I have a much better
one. Go ahead. The best produced podcast.
This is funny. This is good stuff here.
It's excellent.
So we were talking about. I was very actually impressed that we got a call from Brad from the Foul Monkeys.
Yes.
And you know, and we were talking, but it kind of, you know, maybe I don't have a better one. But they were talking about not touching their junk.
Yes. Touching their junk.
You know, I think if you had been able to, in Pride 48, if you had been able to pull out your junk in front of him without touching it, mm-hmm. then he would have licked it for free.
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That's 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. Or, of course, you can always go to the website, dubiousintent.com, or you can play us on You Don't Know Jack on Facebook, or at least you can play me on You Don't Know Jack on Facebook.
Because he wants booty.
That's right. I want free booty. Speaking of free booty, you know, by the time this show comes out, the podcasting nomination ceremony will be over, and then we can all enter this long period where we wait to see if Foul Monkeys is nominated for the GLBT podcast.
Right.
I got several emails from our manager, Joey L. Boohecker III. He was quite upset that I was backing Foul Monkeys.
I didn't get any emails from him. Oh, I backed both of them.
Right. There you go. Yeah, you were hedging your bets. You would have licked it for free.
I'm betting on both sides.
Good night, David.
Good night, Chet.